Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and my free download, the one-page business plan, by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Well, today I've got a little change of plan. If you follow me on LinkedIn, which you should, make sure that you're on LinkedIn first off. Make sure that you set up a good profile and make sure that you follow me, that you connect with me. And LinkedIn is a great platform and every contractor should be on there. So be sure you connect with me on that. But I had a post about an interview that I did, a great interview with Becca Switzer. A lot of you may know her. She is with Roof Sales Mastery. She's got a great program over there. But we had a great interview, and I said I was going to post our interview today. But I keep seeing this problem that just a number of my coaching clients are having. And this comes from not having your financial statements set up correctly. And I want to bring up an old interview that I had that lays this out. I want to go over this one more time because it's so important. And this goes back to June. And this is with Diane Gilson, who is, as I talk about a number of times before, we had this conversation back in June in episode number 176, how to set up your financials the easy way. The reason that I want to replay this interview is because the problem that I see is that everybody's got their financial statements set up differently. And this comes down to the chart of accounts. And I'm not going to get into this too much now because we go into depth in the interview, but basically they asked me, well, where should my gross profit be? Okay. And this kind of starts it off. And I said, well, let's take a look at your financial statements. And the problem is you've got so many costs that either shouldn't be in direct costs or job costs and should be down in overhead. But most of the time, there are a lot of costs that should be a direct cost. You should be charging these to the job, which the bottom line, if you didn't have this job, you wouldn't have these costs. And that's the definition of a direct cost of goods sold. So we're going to get into this with Diane, and I want to go over this again because it is so important. And also, this is really comes after a mini series we did last week. So I hope that everybody checks this out. What it is, it's a four-part series, little mini series. And I posted this on, you know, iTunes with the regular podcasts, but I did it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four parts. And it talked about job cost. And Diane was the instructor, and it was called Five Ways to Increase Your Profits on Every Job. And it was a great series. So be sure to go back and check that out if you didn't catch it, because this is really important. All of these are really the basics that you need to understand as a contractor or a business owner. We're not talking about going back to college for an accounting degree. This is the simple way. You just need to know the basics. You have to understand them. You're able to speak with your accountant and understand what's going on in your business. It's also going to keep you from getting embezzled because you can see what's going on. You just don't shove all this stuff off onto somebody that's unqualified or maybe downright a crook, because it happens all the time. And it's another reason why you want to be sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any of these, because I'm going to be doing more of these quick tips during the middle of the week. Still got my regular podcast on every Friday, but I've got some great short, quick tips that you're going to want to catch. So be sure you subscribe to the show. In the meantime, I'm going to have Becca on next week, like I said, that's going to do. But while you're waiting for that, be sure you go check out her interview that I had a couple of years ago. It's great. And this is number 67, How to Build an Awesome Sales Team, because she knows her stuff. So go back and check that out. And today, I'm just going to play the old interview. It's got the old introduction and so forth, so it's a little repetitive. But stick around, because this is some great stuff. And download the mini-series from earlier in the week. Today, I've got another great show. I've got Diane Gilson with BuildYourNumbers.com back on the show. She's been here a number of times. And Diane is my go-to financial expert when it comes to anything about accounting or QuickBooks, setting up your systems. I always talk to Diane. Love having her on the show. She's got a wealth of information, and she teaches it in a way that is so simple to understand. You do not need to be an accountant. You do not need to be a mathematician. But if you're going to run a profitable roofing business, you do have to understand the basics of accounting, the basics of setting up your financial system. I talk about the three-legged stool a lot. This is where you've got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. And the three legs of those of that stool, all of them have to be strong, because if one of those legs gets weak, tips over, you're out of business. And right now, even with COVID, everybody's pretty busy, and they've got the sales, and certainly coming into this, that was not our problem. Selling work, we had more work that we could do. Then we've got to do the work. Well, that's where a lot of the problems came in, because we didn't have the people to do the work. There just wasn't enough labor. So what happened was, you tend to throw people out there that were unqualified, and the job profits started to slip. So you may be doing more work, but you're making less money. And why the hell do you want to do that? You want to do less work, make more money, and have more free time. This is usually the biggest problem I see with my coaching clients. They all come in, they want to see how they can make more sales, how they can get more leads, because it's all about growing that top line. And I tell them, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to be the biggest guy in town? Why don't you want to be the most profitable guy in town? Because it's just not about the top line. But anyway, don't get me going. That's a whole nother topic. And your third leg, which is just as important as your first two, you sold the work, you're doing the work, now you've got to keep score, that third leg of our stool. It has to be strong. But too many contractors just don't like the numbers. They're too busy selling work and doing work, and so they push off the accounting onto somebody that's usually unqualified, or worse, dishonest, and you get embezzled. Learn your numbers and keep that third leg strong. And that means you have to get the bills out. You have to collect the money. You have to do job costing to see where you were on the jobs, which jobs made money, which jobs didn't, what went right, what went wrong. And without having a good, solid financial system or scorekeeping system, that leg of the stool is going to be weak, and you're going to go out of business. And if you're interested on how you can make more money, have more free time, get in touch with me. You can go to my contact page at the website on theroofershow.com. Click the button. It'll take you to my calendar. You can set an appointment. We'll talk for a half hour, see what's going on in your business, no charge. Or you can text me at 510-612-1450. We're going to have a quick chat and see if I can help you get some of that chaos out of your life and out of your business. But before I get into it with Diane about setting up a simple financial statement that every contractor can use and understand, I just want to thank our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. You've heard me talk about Ruby, what a great job they do as a virtual receptionist. Because if you're letting that phone roll over into voicemail, or you've got one of those funky answering services, they are not going to leave a message. Your prospect is just going to go to the next contractor where they can talk to a live person and get answers to the questions they've got. And that's what Ruby can do for you. And they're going to leave a great first impression. And that's also the beginning of the sales process, which is really going to tee that sale up. So go check out Ruby, see what they can do for you at callruby.com/roofershow. Check it out. It's a great service, and I can highly recommend it. I've got a number of contractors that use them, and everybody's very happy. All right, well, let's get under our interview with Diane Gilson. Diane, it's great to have you on the show again today.
Hey there, Dave. Good to be here.
Well, as many of our listeners know, you've been on the show a number of times. Back in episode number 77, we had The Cost of Chaos, What It's Costing Your Company. And that was a great show. We had number 112, which is how to calculate your true labor burden, because most contractors do not charge enough for their labor. They're underestimating their labor burden. And this is a good episode where you can learn a lot from Diane. Number 105 is how to increase your profit with effective job costing. And job costing is so important, and unfortunately, and probably the majority of our listeners do not cost their individual jobs. How are you going to know what's working and what's not, where you need to improve? What type of jobs are you most profitable so you can focus on doing more of those? That's how you do less work and make more money. Focus down on those profitable jobs. But Diane, as I say, many of our listeners know you, but can you give us a little backstory on what your business is about and who you help?
Well, sure. I started the company in 1994, and the company's name is Info Plus Accounting. Our website is buildyournumbers.com, and our entire focus is on helping people use their QuickBooks to get their accounting systems and their job costing systems set up, get that structure right so that they can use it on a roll forward basis. And so the thing I say about job costing is it helps you figure out which jobs are making money, which jobs are losing money, and when you can see that, then you can do something about it.
I agree. In my business, I got a daily labor report, and that gave me the budget versus actual on each of the jobs we were doing. And I could tell from that which jobs were getting into trouble, if we were running over on jobs, because that was the one number that I wanted to focus on, because that's the way to control the job. And if we were going over on a job, you've got to take a time out, come up with plan B, and think of another way, because if we continue at this pace, we're going to lose money on the job. And if we wait until the end, the job's over. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, and either you can see what's happening. You know, some of the fast jobs, the one-day jobs, it's almost too fast in order to see exactly what's going on. But you know what? If you can see what's going on as the job progresses on the longer jobs, or if you can go back and look and analyze at, you know, once you get to see your numbers, you can go back in and analyze and see maybe what went wrong so you don't do it again.
Too many contractors, they're doing all this work and they think they're making money, but there's no money in the bank at the end of the month. And it's like, hey, what happened? Well, this is really what we're going to talk about today. And what I want to get into is I see a lot of financial statements by contractors. And the problem that I see is that really when these things are set up, they are not set up correctly. And that really comes down to the chart of accounts, where we're having each of our accounts. Are they actual job costs, cost of goods sold or COGS, or is it something that's truly an overhead expense? And you can explain that a lot better to us there. But is this something that you see where these financial statements are just not set up in QuickBooks? And I assume that most of your contractors are working with QuickBooks. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, QuickBooks comes with a default chart of accounts, okay? And you can even select and say you're in construction, but those default charts of accounts leave a lot to be desired. And so 90% of the people that come to me, one of the very first things where you get the biggest bang for the buck is to reorganize that chart of accounts so it provides more meaningful, more useful information.
Why is that important for our contractors?
One of the primary things, particularly when you're in construction or even if you're in manufacturing, is to know what is it that you're making on the work that you're doing. So on a very big picture basis, you have the income from the work that you're doing, and then what does it cost you on a job-by-job basis to create that income? And those are called direct costs, and then sometimes we also want to consider the indirect cost of, quote-unquote, of production. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you can see what you're making on the work that you're doing, that's the place where you can go through and start to tweak things to make sure that your jobs are more profitable. And of course, we do have additional costs to keep the company running. But, you know, you have to make enough on your jobs, okay, in total, and to see a profit margin there that's large enough to not only cover the rest of the cost of running your company, but then to have a profit. That's the whole idea behind running a company.
And unfortunately, we know just from the numbers of failures in construction that most people don't charge enough money. And a lot of this comes down to really not understanding your costs. So what we're going to talk about, the importance of job costing and having this set up correctly, and then being able, that comes down to estimating correctly. Because if you don't have these costs right, you may be just losing money on every job. And the more work you do, it just means the more money you're losing and the faster you're going to go out of business. Let's talk about this. So in setting this up, if I was going to come to you and say, hey, I'm a new contractor, I want to get started, but I want to have this set up correctly because eventually I want to get into job costing. I want to make sure my estimates are correct. How do we get started? And let's go through the breakdowns. I think we know let's talk about above lines, below lines, and really try to simplify this if we could.
Sure. Well, that line that you're talking about is the gross profit line. And so let's just back up. Your chart of accounts is the entire foundation. If you were building a house, you couldn't go in and just start framing above ground, okay, you'd have to have a foundation. And the chart of accounts is the foundation. Everything ties back into it. So it's really important to get started there. So the progression of accounts or the groupings of accounts should follow a flow of, first of all, your income, okay, and then what we call cost of goods sold in QuickBooks. Now, that phrase is a little bit better if you were in retail. You'd think about, oh, well, I'm selling the jeans and the boots and so on. Those are my cost of goods sold. But in QuickBooks, it's a term that they use to be talking about your cost of production or the cost of getting the work done. So that's a type of account. So first of all, your income, followed by cost of goods sold. And there are some very specific accounts that should go in there.
Now, let me back up just so we're clear that income are all the sales that you make. Is that correct? All
yes.
The money that comes in from your customers, that's, we talk about income or sales. And then it's, okay, what are our costs? And Getting into the cost of goods sold, I'm sure you're going to get, you can explain a lot better than I can, but the idea is that if you didn't have that job, you wouldn't have those costs, because we're going to do a roof. We've got the shingles, we've got the nails, we've got the felt, we've got all the basic, all the metal and so forth. But in addition, we've got perhaps a job permit. We've got a porta potty. We've got other costs that if we didn't have that job, we wouldn't have those costs. We wouldn't have right. that permit. We wouldn't have the porta potty. We wouldn't have the labor and materials. Am I on the right track here?
Yep. You're definitely on the right track. And those costs that you can assign specifically to jobs, let's say a permit, you just talked about that, or, you know, 3 days rental on the porta potties and stuff. Those are all things that could be assigned to jobs. And those are all what we call direct production costs. So do you want me to talk a little bit more about some of those specific ones?
Well, let's just touch on it, because it's so important. And having that understanding where, for instance, if you've got the difference between and I want to get into this deeper, but if you've got a rent on your building or on your office, obviously, whether you have a job or not, you're paying that rent. And the same can be for, let's say, your front office. Maybe you've got a receptionist. Well, it doesn't matter if you've got 1, 10, 20 jobs or no jobs. You've still got that expense. I always call it overhead. I think you may call it something different, but that's really the separation of that. So let's get into the direct costs a little more, because this is where I see a lot of the problem is that we don't get enough up in the direct cost that's truly should be assigned to that job. So right. let's dig in a little deeper, just so we understand this a little more, and we're keeping it basic.
Sure. Okay, well, let's just talk about payroll. I mean, labor is going to be a primary component in addition to materials. Labor is going to be a primary component of getting those roofing jobs done, okay? Mm-hmm. And in the payroll, you have the gross payroll, that what you're paying people per hour, okay, as well as the employer's payroll taxes, which would be your Social Security and Medicare. As well as if you do have benefits and other burden costs. So a benefit would be paid time off, for instance, mm-hmm. or health insurance, or any of those types of things, workers' comp. Those are all benefits to your workers. And then there are also some other burden costs that we call more indirect, because it's kind of hard to take a cell phone cost and assign it out to a job, okay? Mm-hmm. So at any rate, the most direct things are your payroll taxes, and your benefits and those burden costs that have to be allocated back across jobs a bit later.
Right now, I just want to get into, we really went in deep and did an entire episode on that on episode number 112, which was how to calculate your true burden, and really got into how you do deal with these things like cell phones and so forth. Because
exactly.
And go back and check that out. An area where we just don't charge enough labor, if whether you're charging man days or whether you're charging hourly, you've got to have all those costs in there. Otherwise, you're just not charging enough money.
Right. And so the first big thing is, in that default QuickBooks chart of accounts, they just have one account called payroll cost. And if you go with that, and it's set up down in the expenses or the company overhead area. So one of the really big things that folks can do is to set up a payroll cost up in the cost of goods sold area. And that's where the payroll that's related to your production or your roofing costs should go. And then any other payroll for the owner or admin or salespeople should go down into the company overhead. So you want to get that direct labor up into the cost of goods sold area above the line. That's one of the very first things that you need to do to make a change from that default chart of accounts that I talked about. And then, of course, you've got your materials. And you want to get your materials assigned out to jobs. And those are the two biggest costs, generally speaking. And then you have some other very specific things that you touched on, you know, permits, rentals, if you have to rent something for a job, et cetera. You know, those types of things, your porta potties, your trash removal, and so on. Those, all of those costs are other additional costs that are directly traceable into a job.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that I see, let's say the owner of the business, maybe he's out selling, maybe he's out running the office, but sometimes he's also working on that job. And that cost needs to be assigned to that job because that's a true job cost. If you didn't have that job, you wouldn't have those costs. You'd be doing something else. And the same thing with when you have to go to the lumber yard, you got to send somebody out to go to the lumber yard. Let's say you've got a yard man. All of those things need to be charged to the job if it's specific to that job. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And when it comes to owners, there are a few little tricky workarounds. But yes, there are ways of getting the owner's time assigned back out to jobs. And we have a class on that. So,
all right. So we talk about above and below the line. So now we've got our cost of goods sold, revenue that came in, and that gives us a gross profit. We talk about above and below the line. Explain that and why that's important to get that correct.
Okay, well, when you can see here's your income and here's exactly what it cost me to produce that income, that's letting you know what's going on the income and cost side. I mean, that's the foundation of your business, okay? Then you do have all these other costs that are involved in keeping your company running, but those aren't as directly tied into your job cost. And that's why in the great accountant's wisdom in the sky, that the gross profit is the first place where you see subtotals on your financial statements. Okay, mm-hmm. And from there, you can also come up with percentages. You can say, well, I've spent 30% of my income on my employees and the related employee costs to get those jobs done. And I spent another 35% on materials. Okay, and then I spent another 3% on these other job costs. So you can, when you get those numbers laid out, you can look at the percentages and say, oh, okay, so for every $100 that I earn, I've spent 85 to get the job done, and that leaves me with 15, or I spent 93 to get the job done, and that leaves me with $7, okay, out of every 100. So the percentages help you think in terms of numbers that you can wrap your arms around. And if that number is too small, it's not going to be enough to cover all the rest of the costs of keeping your company running.
Right.
And so the costs of keeping your company running have a tendency, they're not always, but to be a bit more fixed in nature. You mentioned rent, and of course, there would be accounting and there would be sales and advertising and things like that. So they can move around, certainly, mm-hmm. but they have a tendency to not move in the same proportion as your cost of goods sold move in relationship to your income.
Why this is important? Because you're going to make your estimate. Well, you have to know what your costs are, your labor burden, all of these things, okay? And you're taking it from that chart of accounts. Now, that's your estimate. Now, to do a job cost, to find out what it actually cost, that's got to be a mirror of the way that you estimated this job. And all of that ties in together. It's your chart of accounts. Because if you take all of the job costs that you have, that's what your financial statement is. If you break it down, you're going to break it down into individual jobs, but you add those up. And that's basically your cost of goods sold. I probably didn't explain that very well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and if your labor is off consistently from what you estimated, then you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. Because not only do you have the labor, but you have all the costs that are related to labor. And there are some other costs that I like to put, and generally accepted accounting principles say, also to include in that cost of goods sold area. And those are what we call indirect production costs, which are all those costs that we know that we have that are attached to your production labor. And we talked about that in the burden class. Mm-hmm. So those are indirect production costs. So the way I like to organize it generally within the cost of goods sold area of your chart of accounts is to put your direct labor and the burden costs that go along with that direct labor, followed by materials, followed by other job costs. And if you have subcontractors, you need to lay those subcontractors in there as well. And then followed by any other indirect production costs that you can't assign directly out to a job. Maybe there are some shop supplies. Maybe there are costs of fuel that you can't assign out to jobs and so on. So all of those direct production costs and the indirect production cost is where I like to see. Those are the accounts I like to see in the cost of goods sold area.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Gasoline, for instance, for the trucks. Well, that's clearly a cost of doing production, but it's something that you can't really assign to a specific job. So rather than getting into the details of that, go back and check out number 112. But so if we move on down to what we call below the line, and this is something that I see all the time. I had the same problem with my salespeople trying to understand it, because everybody has these chart of accounts set up differently.
Right.
It's hard to compare one contractor's gross profit with another's, because unless they have set up their chart of accounts exactly the same, where they've got everything where it should be, as opposed to having a lot of these costs that are truly job costs and overhead, that's going to make your gross profit higher because you've got less costs. And it's just all over the board, because right. I get somebody that'll come to me and say, hey, I've got a 25% gross profit. Is that good? You got to look in deeper and make sure that you've got that set up, because maybe it's 60%, maybe it's less, but it's so important to have this set up correctly. And trying to compare yourself to others is just a waste of time. It's always all over the board, and this is the reason why.
Right. When you can start to get consistent, then you can start comparing yourself with national averages, mm-hmm. or averages for people that are in your income range or in your arena, okay, mm-hmm. in your geographic location and so on. So trying to get people to put their numbers together in a consistent way is what makes it very possible to do the comparisons. And you mentioned the estimate versus actual. Now, in QuickBooks Desktop, you have to have items if you want to be able to do those estimates versus actuals. And so that's another layer, okay? You try to keep your chart of accounts fairly simple. I see people set up their chart of accounts and they want to try to set up a new account for every job. You can tell that would get totally out of hand very quickly. Okay. Or they want to set up new accounts for every type of work that they're doing. Again, you start getting an out of control chart of accounts. The idea is that we want to keep our chart of accounts relatively straightforward. Okay. With the elements that we've been talking about, and then use your items to do use your jobs and your items to do more detailed levels of estimate versus actual work. But mm-hmm. that's a little more complex than what we want to get into today. Right. But again, the chart of accounts is the foundation. And ultimately, when you start looking at items, they tie back into the chart of accounts. Mm-hmm. And all of your transactions within your job costing arena can then be assigned out to jobs.
Okay, so let's say I've got a $10,000 job. I sold a $10,000 job, so that's my income. or that's my sales number. Now, to do that job, I add up all the job costs. I make sure I've got everything in there. And now I add those up, and that was $6,000. Okay. So we've got 60%. We've got our $6,000 of direct costs, job costs, cost of goods sold, and that's 60%. So that leaves us 40%. All of those costs were eaten up. Those costs are gone. Now, below the line, we call it, now we've got 40%. And that 40%, our $4,000, is left over to cover our overhead and our net profit. Am I right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. So why don't we go into that and let's talk about that overhead, or I call the ugly overhead if we've got it out of control.
Okay. Well, that it's almost impossible to break those costs down by job. Okay. So you have to have enough above the line with all of your jobs to cover all of those below the line costs. And many, many chart of accounts are set up in just alphabetical order. Okay, so they'd have accounting and then advertising and so on. That just creates a big, long string of accounts and numbers. Mm-hmm. Instead, I suggest that you set up primary headers for business functions. So one of the first areas I like to see are your marketing and sales expenses as a header, and then you would group those accounts in that area. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then go through what are your primary business functions for your business. Maybe there's facilities cost. And so you would group all the costs related to facilities cost as subaccounts underneath that header. And that means then when you run your reports, you'll then be able to see, oh, okay, so I had that 40% gross profit margin. Oh, and I'm spending 8% of that of my gross profit for the company, I'm spending 8% of that on my marketing and sales costs. Okay, and I'm spending another 3% on my facilities, and I'm spending another 5% on my administrative costs. So you'll get to be able to see those percentages, which makes them much more relatable, okay, when you're looking at your financials. So by grouping those ugly overhead costs, as you refer to them, okay, by creating groups of, you know, big business functions, you can see how much of that gross profit you're spending in these other areas of your company. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Total sense. And if we look at, just take marketing, for instance. Well, that's our main category, our subcategories. Let's say we've got all kinds of different marketing expenses. Let's say we're doing some paid search, pay-per-click. We've got our website costs. We've got, let's say we're doing some direct mail, whatever that is. Those costs, I like to break out. You have to be able to see what's working and what's not. Is our pay-per-click effective? But we wouldn't know that unless we have that broken out and say we're spending $10,000 a year on that, but we're just not getting any return. And we know that because when somebody calls in, a prospect, we say, hey, how did you hear about us? And we can track all those things. So that's why subaccounts, doesn't have to be complicated. And I believe in keeping that list of chart of accounts as short as possible. But you have to be able to track it. And this all comes down to, we talk about all the time, of knowing your numbers. And this is what we're talking about. But one thing I just want to touch on, because this is a mistake that I see so many contractors making, and that is the owner's salary. Generally, what I see is they're taking it out of net profit. It's just not set up correctly. The way that it should be is that owner's salary, the money that the owner takes out, however you do it, that is an overhead cost. And I harp about this all the time. You should be taking, as an owner, a regular weekly or biweekly salary. If you're not taking that, you're not running your business correctly because you don't have the consistency of cash flow. after you get down below that, that's your net profit. That's not your, you don't take that net profit. That's not part of your salary. That's money that you're going to reinvest in the business in the return on investment. I'll get into that in a minute, but back to this salary. If you were not there, let's say you're doing all these various tasks, you're running the business, you're down there, whatever it is, what would that cost if you were to go out and hire somebody to do that job? Well, if you had to do that, that would clearly be an overhead expense. Well, it's no different from that owner doing all of those things. Would you agree?
Yes. There are things that you can do with that, okay? The IRS, depending upon the type of organization, does require you to take a certain level of salary. And the reason so many people don't do that is they think they're going to avoid payroll taxes. And ultimately, that may backfire on them. So, yes, we always suggest that the owner take a reasonable salary. Then there are also draws or distributions that you can take out of the earnings. And that actually comes, you get to see that happen in the balance sheet out of the equity section.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's not get into the balance sheet yet, but go
yeah,
on.
As we mentioned, we mentioned earlier, if the owner is working on jobs, then you need to do some sort of an adjustment between what's showing up down in the company overhead area and what's showing up above the line in the job costs. So again, that gets a little trickier, and is one of the one of the things that we find we have to guide people through if they want their company owner cost to show up within the cost of goods sold area.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important concept because that tends to happen a lot. But let's say your compensation for the year is $100,000. Half of that, 50% of it, is running your business. But 50% of the time, you're out there nailing down shingles. Well, that 50%, that $50,000 is spread against the jobs, the number of hours you spend on Mrs. Jones and the number of hours on this other job, and that adds up, say, to $50,000. That comes out of that overhead. So now in the overhead, you've only got $50,000 of true salary. That other $50,000 is above the line and charged out to jobs. Did I explain that right?
Yeah, you can do it. There are two or three different ways to do it. You can either split it on the front end when it first goes into the books, or you can do some other allocation methods to get the owner's time out to jobs.
Real roughly, what I like to see, the owner should be taking about 10%, and you want to see net profit. So after all your expenses, is your net profit, and I like to see that at a 10% minimum.
Well, 10%, but 10% of income.
Correct, right. So if you're selling $1 million in sales, you want to be making at least 10% on that, which would be $100,000.
Right.
So do you agree with those numbers? I mean, it's just a rule of thumb, real rough. We like to see them higher, of course.
Yeah, general rule of thumb for a company that's being run pretty decently, maybe not top of the line, but 10% to the owner, 10% to the bottom line. And that's going to represent a company that's being run pretty well. I mean, that's very broad brush across the entire construction industry. So mm-hmm. it can vary, but it's a good number to shoot for. We'll right. put it that way. So if you have a $500,000 company, we're talking $50,000 to the owner, $50,000 to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You're running a $10 million company, then it'd be a million and a million. So
there you go. I agree.
It just kind of gets you.
And that's where you want to be.
Some rough estimates.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I want to come back to is let's talk about commissions, because if we've got salespeople, that can be a huge thing. And there's a number of ways that we pay our people. Maybe it's on the gross sale. Maybe it's on the net or on the gross profit. Maybe it's a combination of the two. How do we account for that?
Okay, so I'd say the first decision-making point is, can I track this commission to a job? Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you can track it to a job, then I say put it in your cost of goods sold, because that's really a part of your cost of production. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, they're also getting a salary, or they're doing general marketing, doing general meetings, et cetera, then that part I would put into the marketing and advertising area down in the company overhead. Mm-hmm. So if you can't track it to a job, I wouldn't assign that to a job. I would try to split that out.
And what we did, I paid our salespeople as a percentage of the sale. And a lot of people disagree with that. There's reasons why I did that, which I'll get into someday. But it worked for us. So it's really whatever works, whatever the ideas that you're incenting people, your salespeople, to do certain tasks or whatever it is. But that sale, 6%, let's say they got paid on a sale, or 10%. A lot of companies use 10%. Well, that 10% is paid to the salesman, but that's clearly a direct cost, should be above the line in the costs of goods sold. So on that $100,000 job, you're going to pay your salesman a commission, or 10% of that. That's 10% can be tracked directly to that job, because if they had not sold that job, they wouldn't have that $10,000 cost. Is that right?
Right. Yep. If somebody just called into the company and said, I want you to come do the job, then there would be no commission on that one, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to another one where the salesman had to go out and hustle and gets a commission, then that is a cost of that job. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we covered this area pretty well, Diane, hopefully. I tend to ramble on these things when I get into the numbers. But anything else that you want to add when it comes to setting up your QuickBooks correctly from the beginning and using that foundation of the chart of accounts as our base?
Okay, well, this is not something that just comes naturally to people, and because they start out with that default chart of accounts, which is not the best place to be, I have developed a class, okay? And it's called, amazingly enough, Building Your Chart of Accounts, okay? And it's number 1430 within our Construction Accounting and Management Program offerings. You can buy individual classes, and then we also have a subscription-based type of training program. So I've got a sample chart of accounts in there and some chapters out of the book that I wrote, and that might be of interest to your listeners. But in general, be logical. You know, what is it that is income? That's easy. And then what are the costs that it takes to do those jobs, both direct and indirect, and that gives you your gross profit, followed by groupings of accounts based on business function and the marketing and advertising sales expenses then usually just go directly below that gross profit because it's so tied in general to the gross profit. So it goes right down below it, and then follow that with your other major business function groupings. And that should get you in pretty good shape with your chart of accounts. One thing I will mention too is, as people are looking at their financials, you can't totally ignore the balance sheet, because almost every transaction that you create is going to have one half of its life is in the balance sheet, the other half is in the income statement. And from that standpoint, if you're balance sheet is wrong, it's going to have an impact on your income statement. So that's probably a topic for another day, Dave. Mm-hmm. But don't ignore your balance sheet altogether, because you could have some big mistakes hiding out there that could impact your profit and loss as well.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you used the word logic, because this is, if you look at it that way, it's logical. It makes sense. And just touching on the balance sheet, everybody, I don't know what a balance sheet is. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to know. But it's really comes down to what you owe to your vendors and your labor and so forth versus what you own, which are your assets that you have, and then you have what's left over. And it's important to have a basic understanding of the balance sheet, and it's not that complicated. It's basically what you owe, which is you owe your suppliers X, you owe your employees, you owe various vendors, versus what you own, and that's all your equipment and all your other assets. And then you have what's left over. That's your profit or retained earnings. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, generally speaking. There's a section on your balance sheet that's called equity. And that represents, as each year's results roll in, it ends up in the equity section of your balance sheet under retained earnings. And of course, also in that equity section could be money you've put into the company, less than any money that you take out of the company. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's definitely another day's topic, because I would like to get into that. That's also something that's important to understand. Understanding just the basics that every contractor has to know, that third leg of the stool, which is keeping score. But Diane, this is great stuff. I know you mentioned it already, but you have classes and available information. How do our listeners get hold of that?
Okay, well, if you go to buildyournumbers.com, okay, and we have all sorts of free information out there, blog articles and insightful articles and that type of thing. So if you go there, I'm sure you're going to be able to find it. However, what I'm going to do, Dave, is make sure that you have a link to this specific class mm-hmm. about building your chart of accounts. And it's a little bit over an hour and a half, and we get into a lot of detail. So I'll be sure to provide you with not only the link to our website for general information, but also the link to this specific class.
Great. And also, you want to be sure to forward this on and this information, these podcasts that we've done on accounting, to anybody in your bookkeeping department or anybody that touches any part of the accounting. But also, I want to just mention that we're both on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is such a great source that everybody should be on. Make sure you connect with me, and be sure to connect with Diane. And it's Diane Gilson. And because I love to follow, that's where I get most of my information. You come out and post all these articles, great basic stuff. I love reading that. And I think that's a great place for everyone to reach out to you. Do you think?
Oh, thank you, Dave. Yes, yeah. That's yeah. We do put out a lot of good information. So are doing our best to help the construction industry.
Love it. All right, Diane. Well, as always, I always learn something, and I love hearing from you. You just put out some great stuff that's easy to follow. So everybody follow Diane. And Diane, thanks for coming back on the show. We'll have to get you back on again and talk about our balance sheet. But until then, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care. Thanks again, Dave.
Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. Be sure to check out my website at theroofershow.com, where you can download my free one-page business plan. It asks you the questions, you fill in the answers, print, and you will have a professional business plan giving you a roadmap of where you want to take your company, all in about 2 or 3 hours' time. So until next week, we'll catch you on The Roofer Show.